credit towards your first 2 months' payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
One's going to be our high, 50 is going to be our low. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. It's going to be 63 as a high, 39 as a low. And then on Thursday, 68 as a high, 41 as a low. Friday, a little cloudy, but still 64 and 43 overnight. And then Saturday, 61 during the day and get some rain in the evening. So we're looking at pretty standard fare for this time of the year, mid-October, mid to late October. And let me play a few more commercials, and we'll talk about getting ready for 2020.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-34.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
So, hello, it's Joe Peters, and let me play my introduction.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So that's me, Joe Peters at jpeters.com, 908-238-0118. Once again, it is October 22nd, 2019. It's a little after 4 in the afternoon, on a rainy afternoon in downtown Flemington. And my associate, Mark Solek, who is our economic development manager, who we've been looking forward to having come on, has just texted me saying he's stuck in Trenton and he's not going to be back in time. He thought he'd be just a few minutes late, but obviously it's not going to happen. Hopefully it's a good meeting. I know it's on Watershed and getting some building lots freed up, so it's an important key meeting, and we'll get Mark back on. Let's talk about where we are in the year. Our year typically starts the spring buying season, the first nice period of weather after Super Bowl. So if Super Bowl's roughly the 5th to the 10th of February, somewhere around the 15th to the 30th, the weather breaks, and we start to see people coming out. Now, it doesn't mean they stop coming. It just means that's the new season, and that's when people are putting their houses on the market to meet this onslaught of new business, because that's typically when there's more buyers, and when there's more buyers, sellers typically get a better price. So when I talk to a seller about listing their house, I tell them the same story in reverse, saying, if you want to maximize the price you're going to get for the house and pick the perfect time to put it on the market, mid to late February is your best bet as soon as the weather breaks. If it's still icy, we'll wait and we'll get it around the 1st of March. But the last couple of years, it hasn't been, and I don't know what the weather, you know, I haven't seen the woolly caterpillars or anything yet this year, so not sure what we're predicting, but that's when the season starts. And then the season runs through the period of time about July 4th. If you buy a house after July 4th weekend, it typically takes 8 to 10 weeks to close, and then you're just not going to be able to get the child back in school. So we have a flourish of activity between late February, early March, through March, April, May, and June, 4 to 4.5 months, and then around July 4th, the brakes come on. But it's not a stop, it's just a slowdown. And then, in effect, we still have business, but this is mostly business for people that have either sold this flourish of activity their house and now need a new one themselves, or sometimes it's people transferring in and out. What I've been seeing a lot of recently is just people sitting on their house so long, they have a lot of equity, their life has changed, their needs have changed, and it's time not only to sell the house they're in, but find a new one to match their new lifestyle. The new lifestyle may be with more children, it may be with less children because the kids have gone off to school, college and whatever. It may be divorce, it may be illness in the family. They don't need the same size house, or they need a different kind of house. I know a lot of our seniors, and I like to say I resemble that remark because I am a senior, start looking around the late 60s for a one-floor living facility. And not that we have a lot of it in Hunterdon County, but we do have some. And that then means the house they're in is going to free up. And all of that is perfect timing to buy a house. So if you're thinking about doing something early next year, it couldn't be a better time to get started. What we can do is we can have you talk with one of our mortgage people, let you know what you're qualified for, start showing you some houses and developments so that you can say, yeah, that's where I think I want to live, and then set you up with automatic emails as houses come on so that even before this period in time, as properties come on, you can start looking. If you have nothing to sell, it makes it really easy. If you have a current lease, you're renting an apartment or a townhouse somewhere, well, then you've got to coordinate this with that, because a lot of those are annual leases, and the annual lease will expire, and then that's time to move. So there's a bit of coordination that happens here. And then if you're selling a house and buying a house, there's even more coordination, because in a lot of cases you can't afford to own both at once. And in other cases, even though you might be able to afford both at once, you don't want to have both at once, because there's a lot of entries in your checkbook two times each month, and none of them seem to be black. They all seem to be red. I've been there. So you want to minimize the time that you're owning two properties. And a lot of people are thinking towards maybe I can sell and buy within a day or two of each other. I sell my house, I close on it, I get the funds. The next day I go to another closing and I move into the new house. And where do they go for the night or two? It may be living with mom while the furniture's on a truck. It may be a hotel. It may be it's more than a night or two. I've seen people get stuck in the middle for 2 to 4 weeks at times. And it's only because they got such a great price on their house. And for some reason, they can't move into the house they want to move into on the schedule that they originally planned to. But there's enough room in the pricing that they can afford to live somewhere temporarily. And that's kind of tough because I got to tell you, when you box things up to go to the new house, the first thing that you discover is everything you need is already in a box. All the stuff that's not boxed up, it doesn't seem like you need it. I don't know how it figures that out, but it's enough to drive you nuts. So the minimum, the most that you can minimize that effect of having stuff in a box and you needing it and it's not available, the better off you're going to be. So, once again, my name's Joe Peters. I have a buying a home guide that you can go onto my site and you can look for a link there where you can ask me to send you this. And all it requires is your email address, and I'll send you out a buying your home guide and see if we can set up an initial session after you look through it. What I'm going to do now is take you through the buying a home guide. We're going to talk about the reasons to buy a home, what's happening in the housing market, what you need to know before you buy, and what you can expect when buying a home. That's going to take the better part of the next hour. And in effect, if we run out of material on this subject matter, I'm going to talk a little about trends, like what are millennials thinking about and what are other age groups thinking about. Different people need different things in a house. And what we're seeing is when you get down to that point where you're looking for a house, you want to sit with an agent after you've talked with that agent's mortgage resource who will tell you what you can afford and sort of say, okay, what are the things I got to have? You may need a single family house with a yard. You may need a rental, but it needs to take pets because you have a cat or a dog. You may need a one-bedroom rental on one floor, which is called a condo. A townhouse is several floors where a condo is all on one floor. You may need a multifamily, depending on what it is your investments want to look like. I can help you with all of those situations. I have been doing real estate for the last 15 years as a professional and for 5 years before that as an investor. And I've sold several hundred houses during that period of time and worked with as many people and have a lot of experience on helping people pull the two ends together. So, four reasons to buy a new home now. Prices are going to continue to grow and or rise, whatever you want to call it. Go up. Prices will go up. And in 2019, we've seen the prices go up about 2.5% so far, and it'll probably hit somewhere near 3% at the end of the year. Now, does that mean everybody's price went up the same rate? No, it doesn't. Logically, that could never happen. But what it does mean, it depends on your price point, and it depends on the location. If it's a popular location, like, for instance, Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan, we sell half our houses in those four areas. Right up and down 31, between Clinton and Flemington, that's about as far as people want to move into Hunterdon County when they're coming here from out of the county, because you can go into Alexandria and Holland and Frenchtown and the river towns, but it's harder to get back to work in the morning, and people don't want to go quite that far. It's quite honestly, they can find what they're looking for in the towns that I mentioned, and that constitutes where our hottest markets are. By the way, next week I'm going to have the mayor of Raritan Township come on, and we're going to talk about everything that's going on in Raritan Township. And his name is Jeff Kuhn. And Jeff is also a business owner in Raritan Township and a multi-generational family from Raritan Township. So it's going to be an exciting time to talk about Raritan Township. If you go to my archives, you'll see about 4 weeks ago I had Janice Kovac and John Higgins, mayors of Clinton and Clinton Township, respectively, on. And they talked about their towns and what's going on. And then after I have Jeff come on, I'm going to have the planning manager from Reddington Township come on. And Ron, who is the planning manager there, is going to go through a lot of what we've gone through with the mayors. So we're going to have, if you look at those four towns I talk about that do 50% or more of our business, all four of those mayors on between a month ago and the middle of November, so that you can get a good feel for what's going on in the town. So prices will continue to rise. That will keep going as long as several things keep happening. We have low interest rates. We have a shortage of inventory in the popular price points. And we have full employment. I mean, we're talking about 7+ million jobs available, only 6 million people out of work. That equals full employment. The people out of work are either in an area where there is no work or they're not skilled for the jobs that are open, and both of those need some addressing. But an average of 2% and 3% is what they teach you in economics are unemployed at any one given time, and that's the 3%. So look at the other 97%. The other 97% of the people are fully occupied, whether they want to work part-time, full-time, double-time. There's work for them. And that's the second thing that's happening. We have low interest rates. We're sitting at about 3.6%. We have full employment, and we're starting people in a $15 an hour range at the grocery stores and at the retail stores around here. And we have people earning more than they earned last year by about 3%. New Jersey's unemployment is even better than the nation. I'm not saying we're doing a lot of things right, but we're not doing anything wrong. We've risen with the tide, and they say all boats rise with the tide. Well, the nation's unemployment rate is somewhere between 3.7 and 3.8. New Jersey's 3.3, and that's good news. So we've got a lot of good things going, but as a result of those good things, we have prices going up. So not only are we a little fearful of prices going up, we're probably going to see them go up 3% this year, as I mentioned, and that depends where you're at and it depends the price point you're in. But I'll give you an example. If you're in Clinton Township and you're in the 300 to 400 range, you're probably going to get 4 or 5% out of your house. But if you're in Clinton Township and you're in the 700 or 800, you may see your price go down a little because there's a price point of up to 4 that we're totally out of inventory at. That's where our first-time buyers are. And then we have a 4 to 6 where we're at average 4 to 6 months, 400 to 600K. And 4 to 6 months worth of inventory is an average amount, and that's where prices are stable. And then we have prices above 600, and the higher you get, the harder it is to sell a house in Hunterdon County because people don't really want great big houses anymore. And although there's always going to be a demand for larger houses, we don't have the demand that we once had when we built all of these houses. And as a result of that, we're seeing price depreciation when you get above 600,000. So prices are going to continue to go up. Mortgage interest is going to continue to go up. It's been as low as 3.5, but back around the beginning of the year, it's 4.6. So we've dropped the whole 1.1%. That's about a 10% more buying power that you have right now in October than you had back at the beginning of the year. And the Fed has taken several rate cuts. We're expecting number one to come along. But we're going to see, and we're expecting to see, a general tightening of the credit markets to where prices are going to go up on interest. So you have that 1-2 punch. The prices in general are going to go up, and the two punches, the interest is going to go up. And when the interest goes up, let's say you could afford a $500,000 house at 3.6%, and let's say it goes back to 4.6. Well, you can only afford a $455,000 house at 4.6%. And In the same time, the house price could go up 3%. So you not only can only afford a 455 where you used to be able to afford a 500, you may only afford a 430, 35, depending on how much the prices are going up. Now, there are areas where prices aren't going up so quickly, and they're further to the west. New York drives our market. The quicker you can get back to the New York area, the more you can get for a house in that area. And in the more popular price points, and that in Hunterdon County is under 400,000, 85% of all the houses we sold last month in Hunterdon County was under 500,000. And the average sale price for everything we sold last month was $350,000. That's pretty low. We're usually up around 400, and we're usually more like 75% under 500,000. But we seem to be feeding at the lower level. So two things are going to change. Prices will go up. Interest rate will go up. Either way, whether you're renting or buying a house, you're paying for a mortgage. So if you think about it, why not pay for your own mortgage? In a lot of instances, you get a tax shelter, which means a lot of what you pay towards the mortgage is a tax deduction at the end of the year. It's a forced savings plan where, in effect, you're going to put so much a month into a house, and that house, as I said, is going to go up 3%. And at the end of a five-year period, you might buy a $400,000 house, and at the end of 5 years, it's worth $450,000. And it's now time, you've got a child or two, to buy a bigger house. Well, you have not only what you pay down on the interest during that 5 years, but you got $50,000 worth of appreciation. And that's what we call the American dream. You might only have to put 3% down. 3% on a $400,000 house is $12,000. Probably going to take another 3% to close. So you're probably going to need not only a down payment, but you're going to need some closing money. But so you put $24,000 into it, but the whole $400,000 goes up 3% every year. I can't say it's going to go up that much every year, but in the last 5 years it has. It's gone an average of 4 or 5%. So your house goes up regardless of how much money you've put as a down payment. The less you put as a down payment, the more risky of a mortgage it is, and you're either going to pay a little more in interest or you're going to pay what we call private mortgage insurance, which could be a half to three-quarters of a percent depending on your credit. But whether you pay rent or you pay mortgage, you're paying somebody's mortgage. Why not pay your own? And that's where first-time buying and the American dream comes into play. And a lot of times it's just time to move on with your life. Examples. You've been living with mom and dad, and a year or two ago you moved out because the economy was better and you got a job and your student loan is getting paid off and you've been in an apartment and you're renting that apartment. I got to tell you, if you're renting an apartment, for a one-bedroom apartment in Hunterdon County, you're probably coming close to $1,300 or $1,400. Could be more, but that's about the average rate. For $1,300 or $1,400, you could own the apartment you're in and getting some tax deductions as well as some appreciation. But now that you've been in the apartment for a rental, or maybe you've bought it and you need more space, you're getting married, there's two of you, you really need two bedrooms now, not one bedroom. You're really thinking about a yard, single family, you don't want to live in a complex anymore. We have properties that fit all of those lifestyles. And it's time to get on with your life. The other thing is, when you rent, you got a whole bunch of rules. Your landlord's not going to let you change the color. Your landlord's not going to let you change the locks. Your landlord may not let you have pets. Your landlord may at some point in time want to sell a house and say, I'm not going to release to renew your lease. And as a result of that, you're going to have to get out on your landlord's schedule, not on your schedule. When you own a house, all of that goes away. And when that all goes away, you have much better control. You can paint it whatever color you want. You can, in effect, stay there as long as you want. You can pick where you want to live. You can have the pets you want if the development allows pets. And it's just a more humane lifestyle where you're in control rather than your landlord. So you can pay rent or you can pay a mortgage payment. I argue that for a little money down, 5 or 6% in total, you could be making a mortgage payment on it, and the mortgage payment would be cheaper, and you'd be getting appreciation and some tax deduction. So the choice is yours. Now, a lot of people say, I'm not going to be here but 2 or 3 years. That's fine. You buy it. After 2 or 3 years, you turn it into an investment property, or you sell it. You still got the appreciation out of it. And there's a cost of waiting. Because, as I explained a little earlier, if the price of housing goes up and the price of mortgage financing goes up, what we're looking at a mortgage today of 250, and this was written back when mortgages were around 4%, your mortgage is about $1,230. But if the house price merely goes from 250 to 262, which is not a lot of money in the course of a year, and that's an average appreciation, and the interest rate went up a little, your mortgage payment could be over $100 a month more. And if you spent $106 more annually, that's $1,271, and over 30 years, that's $38,000. So, but there is a cost of waiting. And the antithesis or the opposite side of waiting is proactively doing something. And in order to proactively do something, you need to talk to somebody like myself. My name is Joe Peters, 908-238-0118. Give me a call. If I'm not already talking to somebody else, I'll probably pick up the phone and talk to you. Then you're looking at amassing wealth. And this is interesting because there's going to be a point in time in your life where you're going to want to take a look at what is my net worth. And we have a study that shows the net worth of people that have rented all their life is somewhere around $5,000 when they get into their 60s, where the net worth of somebody who bought a house when they're in their early 30s, when they're in their mid-60s, is probably more like $250,000. Isn't it a lot better to face your retirement years with more net worth? I think it is. And interest rates going up is something that just happens. I'd like to say, you know, it's like playing blackjack in a casino, if you've ever done that. You realize the tide comes in, the tide goes out. It's a continuous ebb and pull of you'll win a few, you'll lose a few. And with interest rates, it's very much the same. They go up, they go down. Back in the 2016 at election time, they were at 3 3/8 points. They went all the way up to 4 3/4 around the end of year last year, 2018. They're back down to about 3 5/8 right now, almost back to where they were. I don't think anybody can remember seeing it being lower than 3 3/16, 3 1/4. So there's a limit to it because there's a cost of money. And a lot of times the government will buy down the interest rates in order to get the housing market going. What we won't do anymore is we won't give mortgages to people who can't qualify for them, because that's how we got in trouble back in 2005. And people say, well, you know, the market's due for a correction. Is this the time I want to buy a house? And the answer is yes, it is, because the correction in 2005 to 2010 was we had a lot of people in houses that they had no idea how to make a payment on. They weren't credit worthy. They didn't have credit habits. They didn't understand that this one big payment's got to be made every month. And as a result, they defaulted on their loans. And as a result of that, the housing market took the financial market down. Well, since then, we've put a lot of rules into effect so that this can't happen again. One of the rules is you really need to be qualified. They're going to look at how much you earn, how long you've been in your job, how good your credit score is, how much you owe to other people, and they're going to apply some pretty standard industry rules to your situation. And quite honestly, if you don't qualify, you're not going to get a mortgage. And just having cash in a bank is not a qualification. They're going to look at the relationship to how much you owe to how much you earn. And I'm going to go through that in a little bit. And then one of the other things that this year has been different, and I think we're probably going to see more of it going forward, is inventory freed up a little. If we look at inventory levels back at 2011, we're still sitting at about 45% of less inventory today than we had then. And believe it or not, we're selling more houses. And you might say, well, if we don't have as much inventory, how could we be selling more houses? We're selling them quicker. We're selling houses in 1 to 2 months in the popular price points. And back then, we were selling houses in 6 or 8 months in the popular price points. Our inventory situation in the 400 to 600 is as good as it's ever been. And we really put a lot of inventory on in the last year, and that market is normalized. The under 400 market, the shelves are empty. If there's a clean house under 400, the day it comes on, it sells. And it doesn't stay on, at the worst case scenario, very long. And if you're over 600, these are where we're starting to hit into 600K. Over 600K is starting to become a buyer's market because there's more inventory than there are buyers. These are where people sell their second home and move to the third or typically go into. The first home is usually a 1 or 2 bedroom. The second home is usually a 3 bedroom on a small lot. And the third home is usually a big 4 bedroom center hall colonial on a large lot. There used to be a 4th and 5th home. It just doesn't happen anymore because once people get up to that level, they're saying it makes no advantage reason for me to buy a bigger home anymore. The tax rules aren't what they once were, and people aren't having as many children as they used to have, so there's not as much need for it. But we're looking at inventory over the last year of being pretty good shape, and we're also looking at a time for people to start thinking about next year, because I think it's going to flow into next year. I think next year is going to be more of the same. If you were to describe in one sentence, I would say it's back to normal. Remember it. In 2005, we had an inflationary market. I'm getting back to more nice growth. And some people, if you look at 2000, a popular town, quite honestly, they're probably back there. But if they're in that same town and they're up a couple hundred thousand more, they're probably still 10% off that peak. And if they're in that same town and they're in the 800 and more, they're probably long way from getting back to that peak again because we're just not seeing the price appreciation in the larger houses. Take a look at it. We have in New Jersey 70% of the houses do not have a child of school age in it. So that means 7 out of 10 people don't need a big house anymore. They may own one already, and they may own it because it's hard to sell it and they can't get the price that they owe or that they need in order to move on. And think about that. You may have an $800,000 house and owe $770,000 on it. So by the time you sell it and pay a real estate fee and all the taxes and down payment elsewhere, you can't afford to move. So you're going to stay there while the house keeps going down. So sometimes you've got to take a look at just moving on and tighten the belt and bite the bullet and do the right thing. It's hard to do it sometimes, but sometimes it needs to be done because I don't see the evaluation of